Romans chapter 1, please, this morning. Romans chapter 1. Let's begin there. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1. Who slept well last night? Who did not sleep well last night? Majority. Let's stand. If you're able. Let's read verses 16 and 17 just to help to quicken the mind a little, if you're able to stand. Verses 16 and 17, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. Thank you for the safe arrival of baby Lee, and we pray for your blessing upon Brother Adrian, Sister Elaine, as they rejoice in the birth of their daughter. And we pray for Sister Elaine that you would touch her body and restore her back to full health and strength. O God, as we spend these few moments within your eternal word, I pray that you would strengthen and encourage us as we seek to be a witness of your saving grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The Apostle Paul said in verse 16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How do we believe? Well, according to verse number 17, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. A person believes on the gospel by placing their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. Note that little phrase then, verse 17, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then it draws a contrast there in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So you have a contrast here between unrighteousness of men. And note then verse 17. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So living a righteous life involves faith. Living an unrighteous life involves lack of faith. And then at the end of verse 18 it reads, who hold, and that word literally means to hold back, to resist the truth in unrighteousness. So the Bible makes reference to God's wrath will be poured out upon those that are unrighteous and those that are ungodly, those that reject faith. And the faith that the Bible is referring to here in verse 17 is twofold. It's a saving faith, it's a living faith. From faith to faith. We are saved by faith, we are to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And in Christ we are to live a life of faith. A life that is absent of faith, the Bible makes reference to this life as being unrighteous and being ungodly. So So may I submit to you, for you and I to not live a life of faith is ungodly in the sight of God. Does that make sense? For you and I to live a life lacking faith, it's ungodly. It's ungodly. So we have a twofold evidence of that in the person that rejects Jesus Christ as the Savior, that will not obey the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior by faith, that is unrighteous. They are unrighteous and they are ungodly. But may I submit to you this morning, my friend, that you and I as God's people are called upon to live a life of faith. We are saved by faith. We are to live our lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. God saves us by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and we are called upon to live a life of faith. And God allows circumstances in your life and circumstances in my life to bring us back to that point that we are called upon to live a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And the Bible terms a person that does not live by faith as living ungodly. And I'd like to submit to you, my friend, this morning, if we as God's people that have received Jesus Christ by faith are not living by faith, then we are living a life of ungodliness to a measure. Are you with me? Does that make sense? So if God calls me to live a life of faith, and that is the mark of a child of God, the just shall live by faith, well, not to live by faith means that I'm not living according to God's will. I'm living as if I'm unrighteous. I'm living as if I am ungodly. So I'd like to challenge God's people this morning concerning the fact that we that have received Jesus Christ by faith through grace, we are called upon to live a life of faith. For the just shall live by faith. We are called upon to live by faith as Bible-believing Christians. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And we are to live by faith. From faith to faith, the Bible teaches us. The just shall live by faith. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Colossians 2:6. How do we receive Christ? By faith. Through grace. And as Bible-believing Christians, we are called upon to live a life of faith. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 27, please. Genesis chapter 27, verses 42 to 46. With Esau's determination to kill Jacob, Rebekah steps in. Mom to the rescue. To rescue her son out of this situation. But yet, as we read here in Genesis chapter 27, verses 42 to 46, we don't read of any form of spirituality in this determination. Funny that, isn't it? No mention of God, no mention of prayer. But Rebekah steps in to rescue her son out of the claws of Esau that's determined to kill Jacob. God is not mentioned at all in this passage of Scripture. And what we see in this passage is Rebekah's faithlessness in dealing with this very difficult situation. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, is it not? And what is written therein, the Bible teaches us, is written for our example, to help us, to learn from others. So this morning, I'd like for us to learn from the life of Rebekah what faithlessness is all about. And maybe that might help us to grasp faith and live by faith. I'm afraid that we struggle to know what it actually means to live by faith. At least that's what most Christians would say. It's not tangible. How do you grab faith? Pastor, if I could just grab faith, I'm happy to live it. It's not tangible. Yet the Bible teaches us we need to live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? But yet we struggle to know what does it actually mean to live by faith. Well, maybe by examining Rebekah's faithlessness, it will help us to see more clearly what it means to walk by faith. And we see Rebekah's faithlessness evident in this passage of Scripture. Let's begin in verse number 42. Note the first part of that verse that reads, "And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called her younger son and said unto him." Let's stop there for a moment. Rebekah's faithlessness is evident here in that she believed in something in her mind that was never going to happen. She had heard secondhand, according to verse number 42, the news that Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Now, maybe her servants whispered that into her ear and said, "Rebekah, do you realize that Esau wants to kill Jacob?" Rebekah doesn't hear this firsthand, to our knowledge. But she heard the news that Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and she responds. It's planted in her mind, and she responds to that. And may I submit to you, my friend, that Rebekah's faithlessness is evident here in that she believed something in her mind that was never going to happen. Do we read anywhere in the Bible that Esau actually attempted to kill Jacob? "Talk to me." No! But we read passage after passage that Saul said, "I'm going to kill David." And we read in the Scriptures that Saul attempts to kill David. Am I right or not? But where do we read in Scripture that Esau actually made an attempt to kill his brother? Not there. It was in her mind. Now I know Esau said it, and he said what was in his heart, but the practicality is, it never happened. You don't read in Scripture that Esau actually attempts let alone succeeds, to kill Jacob. Am I right or not? So Rebecca hears secondhand, and she allows that to remain in her mind. So we don't read in the scriptures that Esau actually attempts to kill Jacob. Though he threatens, yes he does. He said in his heart. And obviously he said it to somebody because somebody heard him say it and they told Rebecca. So we don't read of that very fact. So what Rebecca thought upon was, that she thought was going to happen, did not happen. And may I submit to you, my friend, that most of the bad things that we think are going to happen, never happen. It's been estimated that the average person has no less than 12,000 up to 60,000 thoughts per day. As many as 98% of them are exactly the same as they had the day before. Repeat the same thoughts. Even more significant is that 80% of our thoughts are negative. And my friend, may I submit to you that Rebecca was faithless because she convinced herself of something in her mind that was not true, that never happened. Faithlessness believes things that are not based on truth. Did Rebecca hear firsthand from her son, Esau, that I'm going to kill Jacob? Yes or no? So there was no basis to what she had heard secondhand. So her faithlessness chose to believe that negative thought. My friend, the devil is a master at planting wrong thoughts in our minds that successfully derail the average child of God. And we need to choose to think biblically, do we not? Especially when there is trouble in paradise. There was trouble in paradise for Rebecca within her home. And it's during those times, more so, that we need to be careful, we need to be sober-minded, and we need to obey the principles found in Philippians 4:8 and think upon that which is true, that which is lovely, that which is of a good report. And so on. We need to choose to think biblically. To walk by faith means that I will walk by faith in God's Word, in the truth of the Word of God. Rebecca was faithless. She heard secondhand, somebody is going to try and kill my son Jacob, and it's my eldest son. She entertained that thought that was negative, and it never did eventuate, and the rest is history. And beloved, much that we think about in a negative realm, if not the majority of the things that we think about in a negative realm, never eventuate. Am I right or not? It's true. We worry about this and we worry about that. Oh, it's going to go like this and it's going to go like that. Negative, negative, negative. And at the end of the day, it doesn't happen that way. But beloved, we need to be thinking with truth in mind. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Provable truth. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:8 tells us that we need to think biblically. You know what? The world is finally waking up to the fact if you think positively, it will aid your well-being. They're finally working it out. And yet in the Bible teaches us that we need to choose to think biblically. And Rebecca's faithlessness was evident in that she believed in something in her mind that was never going to happen. That is faithlessness. The just shall live by faith. So if it's faithlessness to meditate and respond to things in my mind that are never going to happen, that are not provable, then I need to address that. And I need to replace that faithlessness with faith and fill my mind with the Word of God. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God will provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That is truth. That's what we need to meditate upon our minds. Not the negative. So do we ever read in the Bible that Esau actually attempted to kill Jacob? Yes or no? No. 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 And therefore, she was meditating upon something that never happened. In fact, in Genesis chapter 33, I think it is, they have a reconciliation. They're reconciled. And beloved, this morning I'd like to exhort you and encourage you concerning the fact that you and I need to choose to think biblically. That is walking by faith. We must think biblically. Rebecca hears secondhand, Esau's going to try and kill your son Jacob. She chooses to believe that. She doesn't call Esau into her office and say, Esau, I need to have a few words to you. I hear that you want to kill my youngest son, your brother. Is this true? Do we read of that? No. She just chooses to believe the negative. And don't we do likewise? We choose to believe the negative. Instead of meditating upon truth, what does the Word of God teach? So to walk by faith means that I will choose to meditate upon truth, that which is provable truth, and that will become my meditation. Not something that I had heard or what I am thinking in my mind. But also note there in verse number 42 it reads, of Genesis 27, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself purposing to kill thee. So without Rebekah justifying what she'd heard, she calls Jacob into her office. She should have called Esau into her office. She calls Jacob into her office and said to Jacob, Jacob, I need to warn you that your brother Esau is comforting himself because he's lost the birthright by determining to kill you. And I'd like for you to note that little phrase there, doth comfort himself. Rebekah not only meditates upon something that was never going to happen. Esau never did kill Jacob. And praise God for that, because through the line of Jacob came a Savior. That was never going to happen. We know that because we know truth, do we not? And you and I, as God's people, we are often so faithless because we lose sight of what God has said. And we need to replace those negative thoughts that are unfounded, that have no basis, with the truth of the Word of God. So as she meditates upon the fact Esau's going to kill, wants to kill Jacob, she calls Jacob into her office and said to Jacob, Jacob, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself. Comfort himself. Purposing to kill thee. And I'd like for you to note this fact, that she made a judgment, Rebekah makes a judgment about Esau, from an unfounded basis. She said to Jacob, he comforts himself, purposing to kill thee. So after hearing secondhand that Esau wanted, what Esau wanted to do to Jacob, she summed up Esau and she said, listen, he, by killing you, that's going to be a source of comfort to him. But may I ask the question, where in the Bible does it say that Esau was comforted by attempting to kill Jacob? Where did she get that from? I'll tell you where she got that from. She got that from the fact that she judged Esau unjustly. She unjustly judged Esau. She said Esau will be gratified by killing you. Where does the Bible say that? It doesn't. Talk to me. It doesn't. She made a judgment on Esau that was not true. Now, I'm not saying Esau was perfect. He was a profane man. He was godless. But in this point, she made a judgment based upon second-hand news that your brother will be delighted if he can kill you. Yes, we read of Esau's determination to kill Jacob. He said in his heart, and obviously he said it to somebody, and news got eventually back to Rebekah. But we don't read that Jacob's death would bring him comfort. See, faithlessness makes unfounded judgments of people. What does it mean to be faithless? Remember, we are wanting to really have a better understanding of what it means to live by faith. To live by faith means that I think within the boundaries of the Word of God. I think truth. not some thought that comes into my mind because of what I heard secondhand. But secondly, faithlessness makes unfounded judgments of people and responds accordingly. Rebecca said, Esau, in touching thee, comforts himself, purposing to kill thee. Because her response was not based on true assessment, this led to what we'll read shortly. Look at Matthew chapter 25. An example of this. Are you still with me? The parable of the talents, and note here in chapter 25, verse 24, concerning the one that was given one talent. Note his response as to why he didn't invest his talent. Look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed or strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So this servant that was given the one talent made a judgment concerning his master and said, you are a hard man. Well, that's not what the other servants said. In fact, they went and invested their talents and reaped the blessing, did they not? But this one said, well, I summed up that you are a hard man, and I was afraid, and I hid my talent. So this servant made a judgment concerning his master that was not true. Am I right or not? And may I submit to you that Rebekah, in her faithlessness, made a judgment concerning Esau that was not true. It was not true that he would receive great comfort in killing his brother. The Bible doesn't say that. And faithlessness is evident in your life and in my life when we lack discernment and we fail to exercise spiritual discernment when it comes to dealing with people. Have you ever wrongly summed up a person? Yes or no?
Yes.
Have you ever been wrongly judged as a person?
Yes.
Oh, common problem. So to walk by faith means that I will endeavor to be spiritually discerning by being filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, the Bible teaches us, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. May I submit to you that Rebekah was not very spiritual. And she made a harsh judgment on her son Esau. She said he's going to take great delight and great comfort in killing Jacob. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Talk to me. She made a judgment about Esau that wasn't true. But don't we do the same? Aren't we guilty of the same? We make judgments of people. They're not true. They're unfounded. That's faithlessness. But to walk by faith means that I will endeavor to be spiritually discerning. Note then verse 43 and 44 reads on. Rebekah gives evidence of her faithlessness. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban my brother to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. So she calls Jacob in and tells him what's going to happen. And then she orders Jacob, obey my voice. She's done this before. She's a strong-willed mother, Rebecca. Very strong-minded. You obey my voice, son. Now, Jacob was no toddler. He's a grown man. Obey my voice, son. You need to arise and flee to my brother, and there you will find refuge for a couple of days. And she said to Jacob, look, just give Esau a couple of days just to cool down, then it'll be all okay. You can come back and we'll live happily ever after in paradise. So Rebecca takes control of this situation, at least tries to control the situation. See, faithlessness plots and plans one's own escape. This is what Rebecca did. She orchestrated Jacob's deliverance single-handedly. Did she not? Where's Isaac in all this? Rebecca comes in for the rescue. But in all of this, do we read of any acknowledgement of God? Yes or no? No. No, nothing. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. 6 and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, Rebecca. In all thy ways acknowledge him, Rebecca. And he shall direct thy paths, Rebecca. Be not wise in thine own eyes, Rebecca. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Oh, Rebecca, 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 where's God in all this? Nowhere to be seen. That's faithlessness. And beloved, before you and I get all pious and point the finger at Rebecca, may I remind you there are three fingers pointing back at you and at me. How we can be just like Rebecca of old. We find ourselves in a difficult situation, so we brainstorm. We've got it all worked out. We brainstorm on hearsay facts. What she hears secondhand and what she sums up in her son. Okay, this is what we're going to do. But where's God in all of that? No mention. Am I right or not? So, beloved, to live by faith means in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That was absent in Rebecca. How often it's absent in our lives as well. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, Rebecca, Rebecca, Rebecca. Look at verse 45. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. As if Esau was going to forget. That was a stupid comment. Have you ever heard one? He forget that which thou hast done unto him? And then I will send and fetch thee from thence, from my brother Laban. See, she's got it all in control. She's got it all, in control. Doesn't send Jacob to anybody. She sends Jacob to her brother's place. He still has connection. So when he comes down and he forgets about all this, I will send and will fetch thee from thence, Paul, Rebecca. She took control of the situation, and the fact of the matter is that Rebecca, once she sends Jacob away, she never sees her son again. Never sees Jacob again. And she never gets to see her grandchildren. Never. Why? Because of her faithlessness. Took matters into her own hands. Instead of faith that will say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? Quickly, the end of verse 45, look at this. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? What did she mean by that? What she meant was, if Esau kills you, then probably somebody will kill Esau for murder, manslaughter, then I'm going to have no sons. So we better take control of this situation. How tragic it would be to lose two sons in one day. How emotive is that? Selfishness. Let's say it together. Selfishness. One more time. Selfishness. That is faithlessness, is selfishness. Of course she was concerned about her sons. I'm sure she, deep down in her heart, she didn't want Jacob to be hurt because she loved Jacob. That was her favorite son. But even Esau was one of her sons as well. Though Jacob was favorite, Esau was still a son. So how can I win-win, she said. Well, let me take matters into my own hands. Couldn't imagine living without my boys. See, Rebecca was emotionally dependent upon her boys. Selfish. Selfishness is faithlessness. To be selfless, not about me, it's about my God, that's faith. Is it not? Quickly, my last point. Are you still with me? Just trying to get our hands around what it means to walk by faith from the negative. Now look at verse 46. Now, oh, she's a character, this Rebecca. She illustrates you and I very well. Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life. Here she goes. I am weary of my life. Because of the daughters of Heth. What does she mean by that? I'm being weighed down. I'm so discouraged with Esau marrying those two women that don't believe in our God. I'm weary of my daughter-in-laws. She comes into Jacob's tent. I'm weary. It's getting me down, husband. I can't stand it any longer. And note what she goes on to say. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So it's with that. See, Rebecca has to cover up the fact that she has told Jacob to run to Laban. Now, how is she going to explain that to her husband? This is how I'll do it. Oh, Isaac, my heart is broken. Esau has married some unbelievers. Wouldn't it be a tragic thing for Jacob to do the same? Wouldn't that be most tragic? Husband, wouldn't that be most tragic? Say yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Come on. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Oh. So I would recommend, husband, that we send Jacob to my brother Laban. And that way, he'll find a wife, a believer. What do you reckon? And we'll read on that Isaac thinks that's a great idea. That's another sermon. But my point is this, listen to me. Rebecca wasn't being transparent, was she? Talk to me. Was Rebecca being transparent? Was that the issue at hand, yes or no? No. The issue was that she's got to somehow justify that she has sent Jacob to Laban. She has done it. Mother has sent the son to Laban. So she's got to somehow justify that. So she's not transparent. Though it's true, Jacob needs to marry a believer. True. But it wasn't the issue at that point. Rebecca lacked transparency. She was not completely honest. Am I right or not? With her what? Husband. Faithlessness is evident when you and I lack transparency. A life of faith will just say what needs to be said and allow the chips to fall where the chips are going to fall. If she was really a woman of faith, she would have walked into Isaac's office and said, Isaac, I need to confess to you, I've overstepped the mark. I've recommended that we send our son to Laban, and really wasn't my place. I should have consulted you as the head of the home. I'm sorry. That would have been faith. But she covers it up. She glosses it over by saying, oh, we don't want Jacob to marry an unbeliever. Let's send her to Laban. Lack of transparency. Lack of transparency. When you and I walk by faith, we will be people of integrity. Have I caused you to think this morning, or have I sent you to sleep? I hope not. What does it mean to walk by faith? From Rebecca's life, we see what it means to not walk by faith. To not walk by faith means that I will believe hearsay. To walk by faith means I will believe truth. To not walk by faith means that I will cast judgment upon people without evidence. But to walk by faith means that I will be spiritually discerning. A failure to walk by faith means that I will try to control a situation. But to walk by faith means that I will acknowledge God and seek His direction. To not walk by faith means that I'm governed by my selfish ambitions, but to walk by faith means that I have God's glory in mind. A failure to walk by faith could well be a temptation to not be transparent, to not be fully truthful. But to walk by faith means that I will choose to live honestly. Honesty is the only policy all the time. Whether I'm in trouble or not, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. May we learn from Rebecca's life. Now, don't be too harsh on Rebecca. There's a little bit of Rebecca in us all. Talk to me. Talk to me. Yes. May God help us to live a life of faith. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.